Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Tuesday, October 9th. And today we're going to be talking Indiana Pacers and also breaking down an overtime preseason loss for the Detroit Pistons. This is your host, Matt Shook, a sports writer here in the Motor City covering the NBA for the Associated Press and the Detroit News. A Pistons fan and follower my whole life and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thank you for making us part of your daily routine. And if you're a new listener, you can enjoy our daily podcast throughout the NBA season. Keep them short, 22 to 28 minutes per episode. You can listen to them at the gym, on your commute, wherever you listen to podcasts. And we will stand with you throughout the season, providing some commentary, some interviews, some fun stuff, and hopefully a lot more listener interaction this year. We had a nice show on Monday with your hot takes. I enjoyed those, and thanks to you guys again for calling those in, texting those in, whatever you guys did. But we're going to tell you today all you need to know about Monday's preseason loss to the Brooklyn Nets. It went overtime and fairly competitive and fun, actually, for the home opener for the preseason slate. We're going to also talk to Tony East of Locked On Pacers as our Central Division chats continue. We're going to be talking to the other four Locked On hosts of the teams. We've got this. Tony was our second one. We've also got interviews coming up with Chicago and Milwaukee. We'll get those before the season tips off as well. But a little bit of context. Wednesday will be the home preseason finale for the Pistons. Game 4 of 5 in the preseason against the Washington Wizards. 7 o'clock tip at Little Caesars Arena. Probably, I'm guessing, by the turnout tonight. Plenty of good seats still available. Plenty of good black seats available, by the way. But for context, the Pistons, they're going to be playing on Friday as well at the Breslin Center, Michigan State University, taking on the Cleveland Cavaliers. That'll be the preseason finale. And then 1 week from Wednesday, the season opener against the Brooklyn Nets back in town, just like they were tonight at Little Caesars Arena. The last two games are going to be once again on Fox Sports Detroit. So no need to be shuffling around looking for the stream on the internet, but go ahead and give me a follow at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. But is your company looking for a new way to reach customers? Your company could be mentioned right now here on this podcast. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with sponsors that they hear on their podcast. And our demographic here on Locked On Pistons is 98% men with more education and earning more than their traditional media audiences. So have your company sponsor Locked On Pistons. Go ahead and email me at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, @yahoo.com to find out more. But as we mentioned, the Pistons lose on Monday in overtime to the Brooklyn Nets. 110-108 is the final in a game that was maybe a little bit more competitive than your average preseason tilt. The Pistons fall to 1-2 on the preseason now. Blake Griffin and Reggie Jackson both made their preseason debuts in the starting lineup for Coach Dwayne Casey's team. And I guess the biggest good news is that they looked healthy, both of those guys. So a good takeaway there. And it is a preseason game. We've got to keep that in mind when we do all the preseason talk. Blake Griffin, 17 points and 9 rebounds. Reggie Jackson had 6 points in 17 minutes, but looked pretty good moving around. The starters were the quote-unquote big three with those two and Andre Drummond, joined by Reggie Bullock and Luke Kennard, who, if we're being honest, by the way, Luke Kennard has been very underwhelming so far this preseason. Again, preseason. I'm not quite as bullish as many of you guys are about the season that Luke Kennard has coming up. I just want to put that on record. You can throw that in my face if he has a breakout year here in year two for the Pistons. Ish Smith, by the way, and Langston Galloway off the bench played 36 minutes apiece. I feel like I'm maybe taking some crazy pills when I'm talking about guys in the preseason playing 35-plus minutes in a game. I realize the overtime period changes things a little bit. But to his credit, though, Galloway made those minutes count. He got buckets, 24 points, 4-for-8 from 3, a big shot in regulation late there to send it to overtime as well. 14 points for Reggie Bullock, the starter, including some nice cuts to the basket. Also had the go-ahead bucket on a nice feed from Andre Drummond late in overtime as well until D'Angelo Russell hit the winning 3 for the Brooklyn Nets. Andre Drummond had a chance to tie it in the overtime session, but missed on the drive. He thought he was fouled. I was fine with the no call. I'm one of those refs should swallow the whistles at the end of games kind of guys, and I've always been consistent with that. I remember complaining about a touch foul that they called on Tobias Harris on the podcast under the hoop late against San Antonio early in the season last year. So you'll get that consistency from me. Ref should swallow those whistles for the most part late in games. So I was fine with the no call. Andre Drummond finished with 14 points, most of those coming in the fourth quarter in overtime after he really struggled. I think he was about 1 for 12 from the field to start off the game. Finished 14 points and 10 rebounds, 6 for 21 from the field in all. Really bad efficiency, obviously. That's a bad sign. His field goal percentage should be high up amongst the leaders in the league. He only took the 1 3-pointer very early in the game, missed very badly, as he usually does. Not a lot of mid-range shots there, if any, that I don't remember, actually. But just missed a lot around the basket early on. Every post-up, it seemed like he missed. He might have actually missed every post-up. Even when he gets good looks on some of those hook shots in the post, he always misses it in post-up situations, it seems like. On drives, he always tries to hurry a little bit, it seems like, and usually misses those too. He made a few of those one-handed leaners, for lack of a better term. I've heard people call them runners and flips. I don't know exactly what you call it, but it's really ugly. It's those shots where you cringe when he makes them because you know that means he's going to be shooting a lot more. And I'm sorry, because I feel like all this preseason we've been picking on Andre Drummond too much. He's, like I said, he's probably the best player on this team, depending on what Blake Griffin's defense and health look like this year. Which, by the way, Blake Griffin early in the game played a lot more energy on defense than I remember him playing in the regular season last year. So I'm sorry again for picking on Dre. Sorry for the Dre stands out there. But it's only out of love. I mean, there's so much talent and potential there for Drummond. He does so many things so well on the court, and we know that. But it seems like he only wants to try and do things that he's very clearly doesn't do well. Things like shooting threes right now, which looks like as bad as you could have possibly imagined. I mean, there's some. I remember some of you guys in the opener were talking about, oh, those shots weren't too bad. I think that he's showing up the biggest bricks I've ever seen on three-pointers. They're not even close. The one he shot today was way off a line. And that's when you know a guy, and even the best shooters are occasionally offline, but usually the good shooters in the NBA, you're missing it short or you're missing it long. It has nothing to do with being offline. If you're consistently offline, which looks like Andre Drummond might be, then you know you're not a guy who should be shooting that shot in the NBA. So that's kind of my take there as a guy who's made a few three-pointers in my day. But Andre Drummond, post-up, drive to the basket. I mean, those are things that he does not do well, in addition to obviously the three-pointers. The most concerning part for me about this game was that when Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond were in together, Dre just did nothing. And I'm not criticizing him. I'm more or less criticizing the strategy and what was drawn up offensively for those guys. He was not being impactful at all in the offense. That was what we feared when we put two big guys out there together in a guard-driven league. Hopefully the coaching staff is in the lab trying to figure some things out. And this honestly could be one of those situations where maybe they're hiding some of that stuff for the regular season. I don't think in basketball there's a lot of stuff that you want to hide. It's more important to probably be working on some of that stuff in the preseason. But this might be one of those situations where maybe they are hiding some sets, some things that Andre Drummond might be doing with the hopes of maybe sneaking some possessions in some games early on in the season against teams that don't know maybe what's coming. So that might be the type of stuff you'd want to hide. But of course, I would be remiss if I didn't mention my guy, Zach Lofton. 7 points in 10 minutes off the bench, including a nice-looking three, my guy, and a sweet dunk down the lane as well. Tweeted out by the NBA account that we retweeted on Locked On Pistons, by the way. Very proud of our young son, Zach Lofton. So looking good in the preseason. Bruce Brown, some great defense in the end-of-game situations, the rookie there, and some terrible offense throughout the game, including one of the worst open three-pointers ever taken on an NBA court that hit like the top of the backboard. That was a pretty good one. It's going to be an interesting question all season for Bruce. Do you keep him out up in the big club for most of the season for his contributions on defense, or do you send him down for a lot of stretches to work on the offense? We will see what the organizational strategy is there. Kyrie Thomas, the other second-round pick, he did not play, as well as Stanley Johnson and Jose Calderon and a bunch of the John Lures and a couple of the G League guys didn't play as well. Both of the two-way guys, by the way, Keenan Evans and Reggie Hearn, did not play. Meanwhile, my guy Zach is getting it done and seems to be kind of in the rotation right now, although we know the rotation will be a little bit different when the team's throwing all their regular guys out there. But we will be following that one as far as Zach Lofton in comparison to the guys who are making the big money on the two-way deals. So something to keep an eye on. But next, we're going to be joined by Tony East of Locked On Pacers, joining us to talk about some Indiana hoops as well. But get all of your NBA previews this week at Locked On NBA, 6 teams a day, 5 days in the week, 30 teams previewed from the local experts of Locked On NBA. Follow Locked On NBA at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or tell your smart speaker to play Locked On NBA.
Yes, sir!
And now we're being joined by, a three-time guest on Locked On Pistons, Tony East of Locked On Pacers. And it's three times, but I just pulled the greatest gaffe in podcast history. Instead of pushing record on the call, I pushed end call. So we hung up on Tony. But be that as it may, he was a good sport to come back on for a second try here. So thanks, Tony, for that.
Am I a friend of the pod now? Is that how this works?
I think so. I think we've passed that stage. Appreciate the time. And then we're talking to all the Central Division Locked On hosts here. And Tony, of course, with the Indiana Pacers, Locked On Pacers. We had Tony on early on in free agency because we wanted to get the skinny on Glenn Robinson III, no pun intended, on Glenn Robinson III with the skinny there. But and we talked a little bit about Doug McDermott, the first free agent pickup for Indiana at that point. But since then, Tony, you guys have inked a couple more guys in the offseason, obviously with Tyreke Evans being the big one. You mentioned Kyle O'Quinn as well. What do you think about the Evans move in particular for the Pacers?
Yeah, that was the big move for them of the summer. I think clearly we saw in the Pacers' loss to the Cavs in the playoffs that their biggest need was a secondary creator, someone who could score when Vic was either off the court or when he was, you know, being trapped or double teamed when he was on the court. And Evans was the best guy available at the time they got him that could do that in their budget. Only 1 year, $12 million deal. It's pretty good, I think, for the Pacers just because he gets hurt so much. It's a pretty low risk move just to get him for a year. But if it does work out, it's going to be great because he offers them exactly what they need. You know, finally, the complement they have to the star they got last year.
Yeah, and a bizarre one because you figured he'd get moved at the trade deadline by Memphis there, yep. And it didn't happen for whatever reason. And then, you know, like you said, $12 million, no slouch of a contract for him, but you figured a guy like him might get that 2 or 3 year deal, but it didn't come. I mean, I know it's a new relationship and there's a new shine on it, just like any new relationship out there. But has there been any indication or things you've read about the past that, and I mean, I know he was a low efficiency guy early in his career, but had a really good offensive season with Memphis last year. Is there any drawbacks right now that you might see as Bobby Ware?
Health is his thing. I think through his career, his average is 57 games played in a season, which over 10 years is incredibly remarkable. And that's really concerning just in general. I mean, the Pacers were pretty healthy last year, but injury luck is exactly why it's called injury luck. It's pretty variable from year to year. So, you know, if the injury bug bites him next year and Tyreke can't step up because he himself is hurt, then what was the point of signing him in the first place? Which is scary. I will put a caveat on his 57 games played per season. He spent 3 seasons in New Orleans where everybody seems to miss a skillion games for some reason. And last year he was injured, I put in air quotes, but they were just holding him out to tank. So it's probably closer to 60 to 65, but that still isn't a lot of games. And that's the biggest drawback there. And the second thing is, you know, we don't actually know that his fit with Oladipo is any good. You know, maybe they both need the ball or to be the leader of their unit to be really effective. And without the ball, they're not as effective. So perhaps the fit isn't as good as we're thinking. And they're spending $12 million on a guy who can basically only work with the bench. So there are some obvious drawbacks that could be the case.
Yeah, and we'll see how that all fits together in the backcourt. They bring in Aaron Holiday as well on the first-round draft pick, too. So an interesting mix of new players and guys from last year's team. And like I said, last year's team, and I'm guilty. I'm one of those guys that kept waiting for the wheels to fall off a little bit on the Pacers season, and they kept winning and winning and took LeBron to game 7 in the first round as well. Looking at this year and now the expectations are there with coming off of a strong season. If you kind of had to focus, Tony, on one thing that has to go right for the Pacers to exceed the expectations, which are obviously higher this year than last year, what would you zero in on as that one thing?
I think internal development is really the key. I think, you know, a lot of their big contributions outside of Oladipo came from guys who are now, you know, on the wrong side of 30 and Bojan Bogdanovic, Thaddeus Young, and Darren Collison. And it's not like those guys are going to take some massive step back. Like, none of them did things that required crazy athleticism or speed. They're just older. I mean, like, occasionally that makes you worse. And I imagine they will. I don't imagine any of them being particularly better. So for the team to take the step forward that is required of them beyond just more bench production, internal development is going to be the key. The young guys, you know, obviously being Turner and Sabonis are the highlights of that show. Every year, it seems like people, including myself, unfortunately, I will blame myself here, put pretty high expectations on Miles Turner's potential. And, you know, he's a good center. He's probably a top 15 starting center in the NBA, but the skills he shows make people think he's going to make some crazy jump every year. And if that doesn't happen this year, they're never going to hit this crazy ceiling everyone has for this team. If he plateaus like again last year, they'll probably win about the same number of games. And then Sabonis, I'm pretty high on as well. He looks like a cerebral guy. He's really good around the basket. He's showing a lot of skills in this preseason too. But if he's not much better, it's going to be tough for them to reach their expectations just because the narrative has kind of shifted on them. This was asked of them a lot at Media Day. You know, how does it shift your team when you go from being, you know, the hunter to the hunted? Because now everybody knows they're good. So they're going to have to be on their A game and rely on that internal development to achieve the heights they want to achieve this year.
And health and some of the guys getting better from the offseason are two things you want from the preseason, but you also want that out-of-nowhere spark, maybe that unexpected player to come out of nowhere in some ways, and it sounds like the Pacers have that right now.
They do. I'm glad you said that. Last year was Oladipo, obviously. He's not surprising anybody this year, but this preseason, their two-way guy, Edmund Sumner, if you ask anyone from Xavier on my Twitter, this is not out of nowhere at all, but from NBA standards, he has come out of completely nowhere. He has been amazing. He's shooting over 70%. He's making these crazy acrobatic finishes. It seems like every time he drives to the rim, he's dunking all the time. He hit two threes just 2 hours ago against the Cavs. I mean, he's fitting well with everybody. He's 6'4", but you wouldn't know it. So he's got length on D. He's really fitting in nicely, and he looks like a quality NBA player. He might actually crack the rotation this year, which is huge for a two-way guy and adds depth to a team that it didn't really need it at guard, but I mean, it never hurts to have young depth in the pipeline. So, you know, maybe he could be the surprise player that steps in because he looks like very good so far.
And we will stay tuned to see if Edmund Sumner makes a difference with the Pacers NBA team throughout the season. But Tony East, I want to put you on the spot here. The Central Division order finished. Vegas says that the Pacers are about one game ahead of Milwaukee on the over-under, with Milwaukee second and a nice little golf there for Detroit third, and another nice little golf there for Cleveland being one game ahead of Chicago in the Central Division order. Do you like that order that Vegas has out there, or do you see any differences in that list?
I'm actually kind of high on the Bucks in general. I think Jason Kidd was just that bad of a head coach last year. But it is, I think that it is close between the Bucks and Pacers. I think they'll both be somewhere in that 48 to 52 range. But obviously Giannis is the best player between the two teams. So I think that the Bucks have a higher ceiling. So I would like to flip them in my head, but it's really hard just because I feel like every year I think the Bucks are going to be really good and then they aren't. So maybe that's foolish of me to do again. So I think they're going to be close when the season comes to an end. I would not balk if you put either of them 1-2 in your central standings. And then obviously I think the last three Vegas has exactly right. It's just how large do you want to make those gaps? You know, Detroit has a lot of talented guys. I'll finally talk about the Pistons on Locked On Pistons. And I actually like, you know, in a vacuum, all the moves Detroit made over the last year. And I think Blake Griffin is a good basketball player who we think about wrong just because he's overpaid. I mean, I'm sure you've talked about that on your own show a million times. And the way Detroit plays is really influencing the way the Pacers think, because McMillan has talked about time and time this summer how he thinks with LeBron now in the Western Conference, more Eastern Conference teams will stop going small and start going big with two big men. And quote, like Detroit and other teams, is what he said at Media Day. So, you know, they do have the focus on the Blake Dre stuff. And I think that will work. You know, two plus passing big men is always good. So if Stanley learns to shoot and or they find two wings with Bullock and someone else who can shoot, I think they can really figure things out having two passing bigs work. So I actually like the Pistons. I think they're going to get to like 41 or 42, which sounds pessimistic, but it's optimistic to me. And then the Cavs and Bulls just stink. I have no idea what either of them are going to do. They're both such crazy mystery. So I like the order that Vegas has it. I just think that the gaps are foolish.
Well, I'm going to put you on the spot, though. Indiana or Milwaukee, who's number one?
Oh, gosh. All right, on the spot, I'm taking Milwaukee.
Okay, and then 4-5, who's top? Who's four out of Chicago?
I think the Cavs, Kevin Love is clearly the best part of their team, so the Cavs are above the Bulls.
Okay, good. There, we got it on record there. Tony East, tell us what's going on with you guys as with your previews with Locked On Pacers and where to find all your stuff.
Yes, we're cruising through I just lost all my words for that sentence. We're cruising through our previews for every player this season. We only have a few left with only a week to go before the season, and we're talking about all the preseason games. We got Edmund Sumner stuff flying around. So just be on the lookout for every and all your Pacers storylines, including the new guy, Edmund Sumner.
All right. And we're always interested in the Pacers-Pistons rivalry of the past. Maybe there will be one going forward, too. So good luck to you guys in Indiana, and have a great season with the show.
You guys as well. One of the few teams to have a winning record against the Pacers last year was the Pistons. Even though we did not get to play against Blake Griffin last year, it'll be fun.
Hey, well, there will be plenty of time for that, hopefully, if he stays healthy this year.
There will be.
Wanted to give you guys a quick reminder that the family of Matt Dobek, the former public relations guru for the Pistons, who sadly committed suicide 8 years ago, is walking in the Out of Darkness walk downriver this coming Sunday. We had the interview with Marty Dobek last week. Go ahead in the archives and check out that interview to learn more. But I'll be passing along the link to contribute to their fundraiser that they're doing for suicide prevention and awareness. I'll pass that along on the social media channels again today on Tuesday. But that walk is coming up Sunday, so only a few more days left if you would like to donate to their cause, the former Detroit Pistons public relations guru. And by the way, hats off to the Detroit Pistons public relations staff. I went onto the donations page, and those guys have chipped in $2,500 for the cause. So congratulations to them, and hats off to the Detroit Pistons public relations staff. And hopefully you can join them in contributing some of the money to the Dobek's cause. Like I said, I'll pass along a link on the Facebook page and the Twitter page. By the way, you should be giving us a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. We'll pass along the link on the Locked On Pistons Twitter account and also on the Locked On Pistons Facebook account, which you can find and give a like at @LockedOnPistons-MattSchoch. Also give us a rating and review on iTunes as well. The rest of the week, we got shows coming up, the more of the Central Division previews. We're going to hit Milwaukee and Chicago before tip-off of the season. Got some other things I want to talk about this week as well. And I'm going to have my predictions out before the season starts as well. And I want to see yours. So send me your predictions, too. Give me your 8 teams in the playoffs out of the Western Conference. Rank them seeded 1-8. And also do that in the Eastern Conference. Then send me your conference finals predictions, who over who, and how many games if you want. And also do the same for the NBA finals as well. Send those along to me in an email at @Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, @yahoo.com. I'll keep those in a file throughout the season. We'll revisit them maybe once or twice and then check them at the end of the season as well and talk about who had the best predictions coming onto the year. And we'll find a prize for the winner as well. So thanks for listening, everyone. This is your host, Matt Schoch, of the Locked On Pistons podcast. Thanks to Tony East of Locked On Pacers for joining us. And you guys have a pleasant rest of your day.